Savior is Jesus, my Lord. A wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand. A wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. He taketh my burden away. He holdeth me up, and I shall not be moved. He giveth me strength as my day. When clothed in his brightness, transported I rise to meet him in clouds of the sky. His perfect salvation, his wonderful love, I'll shout with the millions on high. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand.
When you have a need, is to go to God. Amen. Many times we go to the wrong places, but you go to the cleft of the rock, and God will help you there. We're going to be in Philippians chapter 2 this morning. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5 is where we'll begin. When you find that, if you would stand to your feet as you're able as we read the Word of God this morning. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 5. And we're going to read this responsively. So I'll read verse number 5 and you read verse 6. And we'll alternate on those and we'll end on verse number 11. And so let's read verse 5 through 11. I'll start on the verse 5. You read verse 6. And we'll see if we can stay together on this and work as a team. All right. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 5, the Bible says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Ready? Begin. "Who being in the form of God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name. Let's read verse number 11 together, if you would. Ready? "And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for this morning, and what a blessing it is again to be in the house of the Lord, to have the Word of God, to know that we're saved and on our way to heaven. What many blessings you've given us already. But Lord, we also do know that there are struggles and there's difficulties and there's trials, and I pray, Lord, that you would do a work today and Holy Spirit convict and work on our hearts and draw us closer to you through your word. And Lord, we're looking forward to seeing what you will do. If there's anyone today that doesn't know you as their Savior, Lord, please today would they trust in you alone and show how much you love them, that you died to pay for our sins. And we thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do already. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Our text verse is going to be in verse number 5. It says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Aren't you thankful that Jesus is our perfect example? Amen. Amen. Aren't you thankful that Jesus is our perfect example? And if he was not perfect, he couldn't have been our Savior. But Jesus Christ walked this earth and showed us a perfect example to follow, tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. And Jesus came to be our Savior, but to be an example for us to follow after. And in verse number 5, it tells us this, and it says, "And let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." You ever try to compare yourself to someone and there is no way to measure up? Try measuring yourself to Jesus. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." You ever feel sometimes like you're failing? You should be a better Christian than you are. You should be walking with God better, praying more, better witness and all that. But this battle in the mind, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." You ever ask yourself these questions? What would God want me to do today? I hope that you do that. I hope you start your day and not just run off on what you want to do in the rat race of life and just take off for the day, but you start the day and say, "God, truly, what would you want me to do today?" I hope that's your prayer. You ever ask yourself this? What would God want me to say? What would God want me to wear? Where would God want me to go? What would God want me to listen to? What would God want me to be thinking about, looking at? What would God, to have the mind of Christ? Could you imagine that? To have the mind of Christ. And that's what God challenges us today. Not that we could attain to it fully, but as you look in the Word of God, as you read the Word of God, you look and you get to see the mind of Christ. You get to see what God wants to speak to you about. As you spend time with God, you get the mind of Christ. I don't know if you noticed this, but this world does not have the mind of Christ. In Romans, would you turn there actually? In Romans chapter 8, I want you to look at one verse and keep your hand in Philippians, and we'll come back to that in a moment. In Romans chapter 8 and verse number 6, to have the mind of Christ. Many times the battle is lost or won in the mind. And in Romans 8, verse 6, it says, "For to be carnally minded is what? Death. But to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace." Carnally minded or spiritually minded? The mind of Christ or the mind of this world? It's going to be one or the other. Do you have the mind of Christ? Do you truly start your day yielding to God and saying, "God, whatever you want today. What do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? How do you want me to think? How do you want me to act? What do you want me to say? God, would you help me to have the mind of Christ today?" Submitting yourself and yielding yourself completely to God to have the mind of Christ. Paul would say this in Philippians 3 and verse number 10. He would say this, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, that I may know him." May that be our desire. I believe if you come to church, you came for some spiritual reason today because you want to know God better, because you want to please God today, that some way you want to have the mind of Christ, that God would use your life today. Do you have the mind of Christ today? There's times that I do, and there's times that I don't. There's times that the Spirit wins, and there's times that the flesh wins. There's times where God helps to take control in my life as I follow him and his word, and there's times where I fail and I fall to the things of this world. Would you have the mind of Christ today? Have you ever looked at someone else and thought this, "I don't understand you"? You ever thought that before? "I don't know what you were thinking when you put that on today. I don't understanding with how you look, how you with what, I don't understand what you're doing, and maybe that's your spouse. I don't know what you're thinking, and we truly don't. We're not mind readers. You see that couple that maybe has been together for decades upon decades, and they seem to sit there and walk and do things together, sometimes without even talking, and they just seem to know each other. You ever just know your spouse? That you know what they're thinking before they even say it. They go to start a sentence and you finish it. They go to reach for something and you grab it for them because you know their mind. How do you know that? Because you've been with them for so long. You have a love for them that you'd seem to just know their mind. As a teenager in the youth group, my youth pastor used to always say this to the teenagers. He said, I wish that I could take your head and I could open the top up and I could take your brain out and put another brain in so that you could think wise and make good decisions in your life. Now, my youth pastor wasn't a brain surgeon, so I'm glad he didn't try that experiment on us. But I'm sure there's some that we probably wish he could have gotten through with those. But to have the mind of Christ, to take this fleshly mind, this sinful body, and that God would say, I want you to take your carnal mind out and put that spiritual mind in. See, we have a battle inside of us, the flesh against the spirit, and they war and they battle the one against the other, and you're either winning the battle or you're losing it. You're winning the battle or you're losing it, and many times the battle is lost or won in the mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You ever thought about when Jesus walked this earth, what he was thinking? Now, we get to read the scriptures, but can you imagine the disciples as he started to do something? And again, we get to look back. Hindsight is 20/20. They didn't read through the scriptures as they went through it, and they look at Jesus and go, what are you doing? What are you talking about? And it seems that they doubted and lacked faith and didn't believe in God, and there's many times that was true. But to have the mind of Christ, as you looked at Jesus getting ready to perform a miracle, and as he stopped to talk to someone and they went, why are you doing that? To know what Jesus was thinking, to know what God wanted with your life. Do you have the mind of Christ today? Back in the 90s, and I can date myself to this, but they had a slogan that went around, and you probably know what I'm talking about, WWJD, what would Jesus do? And everyone was wearing the bracelets of what would Jesus do? And that was a big movement that really came back from the early 1900s, which I did not know at the time. I thought it was new. Have you ever noticed that there's nothing new? It just recycles through over and over again. You know, things went to like the tight pants on guys. And we were out the other day and this guy had like the baggiest pants of all time on. And we looked and went, it's coming back. It's coming back. And you look, and the fads, they come and they go, and they leave for a while, and they come back, and they leave, and they come back. But what would Jesus do? And there was that slogan that went around for a while, and not really sure completely all of its origins or how it came from, but would we truly say in our life, every decision that we make, every thought that we think, everything that we would say, is this what Jesus would do? Is this what Jesus would listen to? Is this what Jesus would... If Jesus was literally sitting next to me today and was sitting... Would I watch the same thing? Would I talk to the same person? Knowing that Jesus and God knows your mind, would I think the same thing if I knew that Jesus knew all of that? And he does. But somehow we think that he's not here and we're kind of fooling God in some way. Do you strive to have the mind of Christ? In the book of Isaiah, it says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And know this, that God's ways are always better than your ways. Amen. That God's ways are always better than my ways. Amen. That God's thoughts are always better and higher than my thoughts. God is never going to lead you the wrong direction. And when we would truly be in submission to God, and say, God, this is your body. These are your hands. These are your eyes. But too many times we think, well, I'm in control of my life. No, you're not. God's in control. Now, you may try to take over, but God truly is in control. But we have to yield to Him. We must yield to God and ask to have the mind of Christ. Does your mind ever wander? you try to find it again? You ever just, we were driving down the road the other day, and I started driving to our house of about 10 years ago. And I almost pulled onto the street, and I was, you know, you're driving and you get on autopilot. You ever been on autopilot and you thought, was that light green or was it red? You ever do that? I hope it was green, because I wasn't really thinking about it. I was going through the motions, and your mind is just not there with you at times. And yes, I'm there. I'm over 40, teenager, so I'm getting old. 41 now. And wow. Ooh. But to have the mind of Christ, that God would capture our mind, control our thoughts. Do you think about Him during the day? Do you think about God's Word? Do you yield yourself to God and say, God, would you help me to have the mind of Christ, not just in a moment of the day, not just a day of the week, but God, would you control me from the inside out? God, my life is yours. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. As Paul would say, that I may know Him. I hope and I pray that your desire today is that you would know God better today, to know Him more. No one knows God fully. We have God's Word, but I need to know God more. I need to know God's Word more. Number one today, how do I have the mind of Christ? Number one is to know God as your Savior. To know God as your Savior. There's too many people going through the motions of the Christian life, acting the part of a Christian, but not truly being a child of God and not knowing God as your Savior. Maybe going through the Christian life and wondering, why is it not working? Why is the Christian life not working for me? Maybe because you're trying to do the works of a Christian without actually being a Christian. There's no profession in your heart, and it's just an outward motion. To have the mind of Christ, you must be a child of God. To know God as your Savior, God being your Heavenly Father, the Holy Spirit living inside of you, do you truly know God as your Savior? Sometimes it seems that people are spinning their wheels through life and trying to get some traction to do the work of God, but maybe the thing that's holding you up is you don't truly know for sure that you're saved. And you're trying to do all the works and you're trying to do the outward part of it, but God says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Do you know that you have eternal life? Can you bet your eternal soul on the fact of that you were saved by grace through faith alone? And you know that. Do you have the mind of Christ? Do you know for sure that you are a child of God? As a Christian, you become part of the family of God. What an incredible thing. When you get saved, I am now born. I have a second birth, born again in John chapter 3 into the family of God. I'm part of God's family now. Amen. Isn't that a blessing? I'm part of God's family. The Holy Spirit comes to live in your heart. And now you are a new creature. And God's trying to put away the old things, help you to become a new person. And your eternity has changed, but you are working every day to be more like Christ. Do you know that you're saved? That's the beginning. That's the starting line. That's the foundation of your Christian life, is to know for sure that you are saved. Is there a doubt? Is there a question? Is there a wonder about your salvation? You say, we do talk about this a lot in church. You know why? Because I believe that every service, and I don't know the heart, I don't know every person, every testimony, but I believe in every service there is someone that needs to trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior. I believe there's one today that's battling and struggling with that matter of their salvation. And the Christian life is just not working. You don't have the mind of Christ because you don't know Christ as your Savior. You have faith in a false salvation, maybe by works, or maybe believing in a prayer, or maybe there's just no foundation there of trusting in the Lord. To have the mind of Christ, you must know God as your Savior. Number two, to have the mind of Christ, you must know God's Word. You must know God's Word. You ever tried to wonder what someone was thinking? And you look at them and say, I wonder what they're thinking about right now. if you knew, you probably wouldn't want to know anymore. All right? I wonder what they're thinking about. And if it's men, it might be nothing. It might be a whole lot of nothing going on there. We've got that nothing switch that we can turn on, and we can zone out and literally think about nothing. It's incredible. It's a great tool to have. But let me ask you this. Do you know God's word? Do you know God's word? That God gave us his eternal word and preserved it and gave it to us so that we could read it, so that we could know him. And in chapter 3, again, it says that I may know him. You may think, well, how do I know God? How do I know God? How do I get closer to God? Well, God gave us his word. God told us how we could know him. You start in your Bible and you open it up and you read about God. The more that this country tries kicking God and his word out of this country and out of our schools and trying to take it out of our lives, the less people will know about God. But Christian, do you know God today? Did you spend time with him today? Did you read God's word today? See, God had something that he wanted to speak to you about today. Do you know the word of God? Now, guess what? I don't know every part of the word of God. There's more that I don't know about the Bible than I do know. And as I open the word of God, many times I read it and I go, what? And you read and you pray and you study and you look at it and you say, Lord, you're going to have to show me because I don't know it like I should. Or maybe it's scripture that you do know, but you open it up that day and God speaks to you that day out of that passage from what you're facing for that day. And you say, thank you, Lord, that I could have the mind of Christ today because I'm going through this. I'm having this struggle today. I'm facing this difficulty today. And God, may I have the mind of Christ in this matter? You ever thought that you knew better than God? That's a foolish thing to do, isn't it? You thought you knew better than God. I don't know about you, but sometimes I pull up my GPS and I think, there's no way they're telling me the right way to go. And there's many times that it is true, that they're telling me the wrong way to go. We were driving this week, and it wanted to take me on a huge detour somewhere. I thought, what is it doing? And I got back on the road, and it was completely wrong. But how foolish would we be to come to God's word and say, God, I know you're saying that, but I think I know better in this circumstance. How in the world could we think that we know better than the all-knowing, omniscient God, omnipresent, that God that knows everything and gave us his word, and we think that we know better than God? How foolish could we be to think that we know better than God's word? When you know the word of God, can I help you with this? Just obey it. It's not our job to question. It's not our job to wonder. It's not our job to doubt. It's not our job to change it. It's our job to read the word of God and obey it and follow the scriptures that God gave to us. In Colossians chapter 1, it says that you may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Increasing in the knowledge of God. Are you increasing your knowledge about God by getting in the word of God? Again, that I may know him. Isn't it a blessing that someday, for those that are saved, that one day you'll get to see God face to face? That one day you'll get to see God in heaven? And the things in Scripture will be revealed or shown to you, and you'll understand what God was telling you. The things that we don't know now, God will show us someday. I don't know about you, but I look forward to going to heaven, and I hope and I pray that we get to relive or watch some of the passages from Scripture. Wouldn't you love to see that? That God would explain it to you from his eyes, from his standpoint, and you get to see David and Goliath. You get to see Jonah and the whale. You get to see all these incredible stories from the Word of God and God doing miracles, and you get to see that. Or maybe that God would show you in the Scriptures what he meant in that verse. Things that we don't fully know and understand now, but we accept by faith. Do you know God's Word? Are you striving to get closer to God today, or have you wandered away from the Lord? To have the mind of Christ, you need to, first of all, know God as your Savior. Number two, you need to know God's word. And then number three, to have the mind of Christ, you have to know the will of God. As you look in Philippians chapter 2, It says, let this mind be in you. If you look at that, please, Philippians 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus Christ, when he came to this earth, fulfilled the will of his Father. Jesus Christ, who the Bible says is, he found it not robbery to be equal with God, that Jesus is God in human form, and he came to this earth to come to be our Savior, and he was obedient to the cross. He humbled himself. He became a servant to do the will of the Father for you and for me. Aren't you thankful for that today? That Jesus would follow the will of the Father. And you know that if Jesus was willing to submit himself, to put himself under the will of the Father, to submit is to yield or to accept the authority of another. You ever have that battle of the wills with your children? If you haven't, you've never been a parent. The battle of the wills. And you think it's you or me winning. And parents, you got to win that battle. And it may be harder and take longer, but you got to win that battle. And that child at some point has to submit themselves to the will of the parent. Submit yourself to put yourself under the authority of the parents that God gave to you. But as a Christian, we do that sometimes, or we battle the will of God. And where God is trying to do work in our life, and you ever argue with God? Maybe not out loud, but in your heart. God, I know you want me to do that, but... And you start arguing and questioning and doubting God, and God's telling you, would you just trust me? Would you just trust that I have a plan? You know this, that God sees everything, past, present, and future. That God sees everything. And when you don't know how it's going to turn out, God does. When you don't know the end result, God does. When you don't know the why, God knows that. And to have the mind of Christ, you must know the will of God. Question for you this morning, are you in the will of God today? Are you in the will of God for your life today? See, the will of God is not just for a certain age. Many times we think for young people, I pray that you do the will of God someday. But what about as adults? Are you in the will of God today? Are you doing exactly what you know that God wants for you to do in obedience to his word and in the center of God's will? See, God's word is good for every one of us, right? But God has a special plan for your life. Knowing that God created you, and when he created you, he created a plan, a blueprint for your life. Don't you want to know that plan for your life? Do you want to know what God has for you to do? You ever open that instruction sheet and you go to build something and they tell you, what should you do? Read the instructions before you go any further. Lay all the parts and pieces out to make sure you have them all. Who does that? Oh, I do, and I'll take those out and I'll line things up. But here's what I do when I open it up. I know where it goes. I know where it goes. And you start putting it together, and you get to the last step, and you realize, oh, I put that one piece in backwards. And what do you have to do? You can't just take that one piece and flip it around. You've got to take everything apart and go back to the beginning, and you thought, if I just paid attention to the instructions, or if the person that lives on the other side of this world would give me clear instructions so I could see... So they could, if you showed me a clear diagram, I could have seen it. But you get to the end and you realize that some goofball wanted to save, 25 cents, whatever it is, to skip that step. But many times we get to the end of our plan and we think, God, I know your plan, but, and we get to the end and we go, oops. We're like, let me backtrack now. Let me go back and, let's try to do it God's way now. And we lose time. We get out of the will of God. We make mistakes. Do you want to be in the will of God today for your life? Even Jesus Christ himself submitted himself to the will of his Father. Remember, Jesus 12 years old, they went to the temple in Jerusalem, and Mary and Joseph left him there. Again, that makes me feel better as a parent, that if Mary and Joseph left Jesus, I don't feel quite as bad if I leave my children. But they left him there, and they came back after days, and they found him sitting in the temple. And Jesus said to them, "Wist ye not, I must be about my Father's business." Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business, that I must do the will of God for my life today? Jesus said this in John chapter 9, "I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work." Are you in the will of God for your life today? Are you in obedience to the Word of God today, following the Word of God? Are you in the center of God's will for your life? See, too many times we fight and we battle God, and we must simply just submit. Just give up and say, "God, whatever you want, whenever you want, wherever you want it, I submit my will and my life to yours." Many times we get ahead of God and His plan. Many times we get ahead of God, and then we say, "God, would you catch up to me? Come on, get up here." You ever told your children, just wait, you know, stop, boom, they run into the wall, and you're like, "I told you to stop," you know, and you're like, "I told you so." I know you wouldn't say that. There's times, if you stopped and you listened, that wouldn't have happened, right? And in our lives, we go running ahead of God, and we don't pray and submit ourselves to God and search the Scriptures, and you say, "What would God want me to do?" Do you know this, that God tells us what we should do with our lives in the Word of God? And instead of having a question and going to Google and YouTube and texting a friend, how about going in the Scriptures and praying and saying, "God, would you show me what decision I should make in my life?" But many times we don't want to hear the answer. Many times I don't want to hear what God has to say. That's why I'm not going to the right source. I'm not going to the Word of God in prayer, and we're going to do it our own way. Would you humble yourself? Would you submit yourself to the will of the Father? Why? Because God knows best. God always knows best. If you want to battle and try to do it your own way, you can do that. God will let you and myself do that as well. But then He's going to say, "I told you it was going to happen. I told you it was going to turn out that way. I tried to save you from going that way." But may our prayer today be, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Hey, controlling our thoughts. Philippians 4:8 says, "Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." Your mind will deceive you. Your flesh will trick you. This world will always lead you the wrong direction, but God is trying to point you in the right direction. Would you truly submit yourself to God and say, "God, would you help me to have the mind of Christ?" Starting your day and say, "God, would you control me today?" And then throughout the day saying, "God, would you help control me today?" Not letting your mind wander. As we started the message today, I asked you the question, do you ever stop and say, "God, what do you want me to do?" Instead of saying, "Well, I've got to get it done. I don't have time to stop and wait. God, what do you want me to do? God, where do you want me to go? God, what do you want me to say? God, what do you want me to think?" Would you have the mind of Christ? When you have the mind of Christ, God helps you to obey Him and His Word. Would we have the mind of Christ today? Head bowed and eyes closed, please, this morning. We will never reach perfection. I'll never know everything about God's Word. I'll never know everything in God's will. But may we strive to truly have the mind of Christ. Let God be in control, submitting yourself to the Father. Maybe you're here today and you don't know the mind of Christ because you're not a Christian. You don't know that you're saved. Maybe trying to work the Christian life, but not knowing that you're on your way to heaven. If that's you today, when the invitation time begins, would you come and see Brother James? He stands before this pulpit on the lower floor, and would you allow us to show you from the Word of God how you could be saved today? Maybe today there's an area you're struggling in your life. Maybe you have decisions to make, and you don't know what decision to make. You know, go to God in prayer. go to the Word of God and search the Scriptures and stay with God until God gives you the answer. And follow and obey that. With head bowed and eyes closed, would you stand to your feet this morning?